Idag ska nytänkarna handla om läkemedelsindustrin. Och vi har en riktig jätte i Sverige, nämligen AstraZeneca, ett av världens största läkemedelsbolag. AstraZeneca har stor tillverkning i Södertälje och väldigt stor forskning i Göteborg. Och ni ska få träffa Jim Fox som är högst ansvarig för sajten i Södertälje och näst högsta ansvarig är han också för verksamheten i hela Sverige. Och Jim Fox och jag, vi ska prata om det allra hetaste inom läkemedelsindustrin just nu, nämligen biologiska mediciner. Och vi ska också prata om att AstraZeneca beslutat sig för att fortsätta tillverka vaccin efter covid. Och så ställer vi oss också frågan, hur viktig är egentligen Sverige för AstraZenecas verksamhet globalt? Varmt välkomna till ett nytt avsnitt av Nytänkarna. Good morning and nice to meet you, Jim, and welcome to Trailers Play.
Good morning, Jesper, and delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, there was a lot of snow outside this morning.
Yeah, it's a little more than the UK at the moment.
Yeah, but you live nearby, so you walked. You didn't have to take the car or the bus or so. No.
The Swedes tell me that it's not about the weather, it's about what you wear. So yeah. I've got my snow gear on today.
You're adapting to the Swedish mindset.
Trying.
Yeah. Jim, you are vice president, as I said, for Sweden operations and head of the site in Södertälje. Tell us about your job.
So it's, you're right, it's quite a big job. Mm-hmm. We have about 6 factories in Södertälje and we have about 5,000 people. So we have a big job to do for AstraZeneca globally. Mm. We do all of the new product introduction in Södertälje, pretty much.
Yeah.
And we supply to over 100 countries.
100 countries, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Quite a responsibility.
Yeah. You have worked in life science, I think, for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Tell me about your background.
So it's an interesting one. So I worked for a competitor company, dare I say it, for 23 years. Mm. And I didn't really intend to leave the company until I picked up the phone one day. And it was AstraZeneca. And I got more and more interested in it.
Yeah.
I can talk about some of that history. But I started off in R&D, research and development.
Mm.
And I was sort of discovering molecules to start with. Then I moved into development, which turns molecules into products.
Mm.
And supplies the clinic for patients. And then I got more into operations where we actually commercially manufacture this stuff.
Mm.
And I've been privileged to have lived and worked in Singapore and the Asia Pacific region. And I lived and worked in Japan as well, which was fascinating.
Oh, you're a globetrotter.
A little bit.
Yeah. But if we talk to AstraZeneca in general, it seems to defy the recession right now and you're doing fantastic results. Why do you think that is?
So there's a very good vision for the company. And basically all the employees pretty much know what the vision is. And they break it into sort of 5-year pieces. So we had a vision for 2025 and we're really on track for that. And literally with the senior executive team, we just launched our 2030 bold ambition.
Mm.
And it becomes a momentum. You know, the company returned to growth in quarter four 2017. And it's just been a success after success.
Mm.
So some really good in-house R&D. And we've also sort of inorganically grown the company through smart acquisitions as well. So we had a vision. We're executing really well against it.
Mm.
And the results, you know, you have to have a little bit of luck along the way as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's momentum now.
Yeah. But it can be a problem sometimes. You have a vision and then you have to implement it.
Yeah, what I would say is it's a very resilient company. Yeah. So you remember through the pandemic, they were tough times. But, you know, we relied a lot on our employees to go the extra mile, which they did.
Mm.
And it had a strangely unifying effect.
Mm.
You know, when there's a common enemy, if you like, called COVID,
yeah,
it brings everybody together with a real single purpose,
mm,
which I think has helped.
Mm. And that was, of course, hectic times for AstraZeneca as well, with the vaccines and so on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But great to be part of.
Yeah.
You know, you can't think of anything else that's going to really affect the world as much as that. And, you know, we had a really important part to play in that.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually. Did you feel that Astra played an important part? If you take a look where COVID is now, you could actually die from COVID in the beginning. You still can, of course, but chances are aren't that high, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Thanks to the vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we did play an incredibly important part. Mm-hmm. And the really nice thing about AstraZeneca is we not only supplied to people that were prepared to pay pay for the medicine, but we mm-hmm. also provided a lot for low middle income countries as mm-hmm. well. So I think I need to check carefully, but I think we supplied more doses of vaccine around the world than anybody else.
Yeah.
And we did it not for profit as well. I don't know whether you realize.
Yeah. And you got a lot of criticism as well during the ride. If you take a look in the mirror now and see and you think of all that, do you think you were treated unfair?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that you have to take on the chin, as a British saying. You take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah.
You know, the data actually was pretty positive for AstraZeneca. So if you looked hard at the data, we did really well.
Mm.
But, you know, it was, you're in the media spotlight. Everything is being critiqued. And maybe some of it was a bit unfair.
And it was kind of chaos for a year. We didn't know anything about this virus and we really wanted vaccines fast. And then it was panic.
Yeah. People were worried.
Yeah.
People were dying.
Yeah. And they did, unfortunately.
But
that was, I think that was a part of history that we will never forget.
No. In this generation, for sure.
Yeah. Jim, Astra is a global company. How important is Södertälje and Sweden for Astra globally, do you think?
Extremely.
Mm.
So it's responsible for up in excess of 40% of the company's supplied revenue. Worldwide.
Mm.
So if you look at the total revenue for AstraZeneca, 40% of that is supplied from Södertälje.
Oh, that's a lot.
Pretty big.
Yeah.
And if you convert that to, so not just on a company level, but on a national level as well, it's responsible for over 100 billion SEK of Swedish exports, which is 6.3% of Sweden's export value.
Yeah.
So, you know, If we miss a heartbeat in Södertälje, we have interest from our company at a senior level, but also from the nation as well here.
Yeah. At your new factory in Järtuna outside Södertälje, you produce biological drugs. I think that's the correct name for it. This is very hot right now in life science. Are you pleased with this investment?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's definitely the way you know, medicine is going in the future. Mm. And it's nice to have something that's at the cutting edge of technology. And it balances really nicely the rest of the, what we call small molecule work that we do in Järtuna and Snäckviken as well.
Mm.
It's a real morale boost for the company and for Sweden itself, I think.
As I said, it's pretty hot right now. But what is biological drugs?
So it's...
In simple terms.
In simple terms, it uses your biology to give the therapeutic effect. Whereas small molecule is more of a sort of a chemistry effect.
Mm-hmm.
Biologics is just a different mechanism of action within your body.
So do you want to produce more drugs, more biological drugs in the near future?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we're set up nicely to do so.
Mm.
The company has recognize that we want to be back into vaccines and immune therapies.
Mm.
And this is one of the, you know, a very small number of biologics drug product facilities globally for AstraZeneca. So anything that's new that comes through the pipeline is likely to be finished off in this plant.
Okay. Yeah. So that's an extra important plant for AstraZeneca.
Don't mess up.
Yeah. Don't mess up. That's good. I think around 10 years ago, Jim, AstraZeneca decided to close down the research unit in Södertälje. It shifted to manufacturing with the results of more jobs coming in, I think. But AstraZeneca still has research in Sweden, in Gothenburg. How important is the research department in Gothenburg?
Again, very, very important.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea was to consolidate R&D in one location, and we chose Gothenburg. And Gothenburg is only one of three global centers. So we have Gothenburg, we have Cambridge in the UK, and Gaithersburg in the US. And they do all of our R&D. And the really good thing about Gothenburg is they are researching into all the therapy areas that we do for AstraZeneca. So extremely important.
In Södertälje, there is also Scania, and in Stockholm, there is KTH, the university. Do you collaborate with each other? And if so, in what way?
Yes, we do. So Scania is literally on our doorstep.
Yeah.
And now so is KTH. We have this Södertälje Science Park that was created a few years ago, which is a collaboration between AZ, Scania and KTH University. really focusing on, you know, production technologies, production planning, sustainable manufacturing. So yeah, we're pretty close.
So you learn from each other, and you share your learning as well.
We absolutely do, and it there's more similarities in making trucks,
yeah,
and making pills than you would think.
Tell me.
Well, you know, Scania were the early pioneers of, you know, the lean production system that a lot of companies learned from Toyota. So, you know, it kind of doesn't matter whether you're efficiently producing parts of trucks or whether you're efficiently producing tablets. The systems and the methodology are very similar.
Okay.
And what makes it nice is we're not competitors, so we can share all of these things and play nicely together.
Yeah. I think it's nice when you learn from each other.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we don't profess to be the best at everything. We're pretty good at science.
Yeah.
But, you know, Scania have a brilliant track record in production.
Do you think Astra will continue to manufacture vaccines?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there was a decision to, you know, do we, you know, we've helped serve the world on this one. Then the question is, you know, well, do we continue after this?
Yeah.
And a lot of debate and discussion. And the CEO decided, yes, we are. And we've created the therapy area. So there is a vaccines and immune therapies division headed up at the senior executive table. So, yes, we're in it for the long term now.
Yeah, that's nice. Raelus is a technician consulting company.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of the transition right now with the green energy and so on. What's your advice to us? Do you have any advice for us? We're also on a mission, and we're also helping the society, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've just had COP27. I'm not sure whether it's still ongoing, but certainly in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, climate change is a massive thing globally, so it's a huge focus. I'm really pleased that AstraZeneca are at the forefront in life sciences, arguably cross-sector as well. So I think from your perspective, anything you can do to get involved with those companies that have the ability to change carbon footprint on an entire supply chain, you should be very interested, because the, you know, the technology is changing all the time. And, you know, you just see with current inflation, of course, energy pricing going through the roof. So that in itself gives an opportunity for some of those technologies that perhaps weren't so competitive in terms of pricing before. So it opens up, I think, a whole green world of different types of technology rather than just straight renewable from wind, certainly not fossil fuels. But it brings in geothermal or solar panels these days where, you know, in the past, the return on investment on solar panels wasn't so good. But with the energy pricing being so high, it suddenly comes back into play, for example.
Thank you.
No problem.
But last question, Jim. How do you see AstraZeneca's operation in Sweden in 10 years?
Well, we're going through a visionary place at the moment. So we're trying to set ambition for the next 10 years. So as I said, AstraZeneca have set out their bold ambition 2030. So my job with my team and the Södertälje staff is to basically say, you know, how do we set ourselves up for success in the future? So you touched on it a little bit. The products are changing. They're becoming a little bit more niche, and they're being more targeted to at a patient level. Mm. So we will probably go from, you know, large factories where you produce lots and lots of tablets to slightly smaller, but with higher tech.
Okay. Mm.
So we're in the process at the moment of investing in technology in Sedatalia. Mm. So we have some stuff coming in early next year that will start to set the tone for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So instead of having huge factories with long production runs, it'll be smaller but more process intensive. Mm. And we will need to be at the very front end of technology to be able to do that.
Mm. So it's very important that Sweden shows its ability to be in the forefront in this transformation in the life science area.
Definitely. And, yeah. And I'm really impressed with this, with the innovation I've seen in Sweden. Mm. You know, it's not something necessarily, if you're outside of Sweden, you associate Sweden with, but I don't know why. No. But since being here, it's incredibly innovative, creative, and so on. So I think we've got the raw ingredients, which is really good people. We have good funding mechanisms within the company. It's an important site. We've just got to make sure that we're placing our bets on the right things.
Yeah. And that's your job, to lead that.
No pressure, right?
Yeah, no pressure. It was so nice meeting you, Jim.
Likewise.
And thank you for coming to Railers Play.
Du har lyssnat på podden Nytänkarna med Jesper Börjesson. Vill du se en filmad version av det här samtalet och andra intervjuer, så finns vi på YouTube, och där heter vi Railers Play. Tack för att du lyssnade.